Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is John Kuzma from EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle Show. I appreciate you guys tuning in. It's Mother's Day. We got a great episode for you today. Michael Gallup's supposed to be stopping by again. The ticker for today, we have the New Orleans Saints, the Atlanta Falcons, the Minnesota Vikings. So we're going to cover a lot of the Super Bowl winning teams and just, you know, get the latest roundup on everything that's happened around the league. We hope you guys enjoy what we got for you today. Let's just talk about some of the things going on. First things up, you know, the New Orleans Saints, great football team. They go to the playoffs last year. Just, you know, Sean Payton's done a terrific job. I don't know if you guys have heard, Sean Payton actually said he would reconsider bringing Adrian Peterson back next year. I thought that was kind of interesting because Adrian Peterson and Payton kind of got in a spat on the sidelines, if you don't remember. It was like an argument between the two. And eventually that resulted in Adrian Peterson being traded to the Arizona Cardinals. It didn't seem like those two sides would be able to rekindle the relationship, but apparently Sean Payton is willing to keep the door open on Adrian Peterson's return. And that's, you know, that's kind of it's exciting because it's just a stand-up move from Sean Payton on his behalf. You know, he could have easily said there's no chance that's happening. And maybe behind the scenes he actually feels that way, being, you know, he's politicking a little bit and just trying to have a good face publicly. But it seems like, you know, Payton would be serious about having, you know, Peterson come back. And, you know, I just thought that was kind of a classy move by Sean Payton. We'll see if the two sides rekindle the old flame. But, I'm, you know, anything's possible in the NFL. We've seen crazier things happen. We've seen plenty of other old players go back to their old locations. So this just could be the next situation. I don't know if New Orleans will actually go through with it. You just never know.
Hey, you guys there? Hey, what's going on?
Michael Gallup, what's up, buddy?
How you doing? Good to be back.
Good to have you back, man. Had some technical difficulties there for a minute. We'll chop up with GarageBand and get it all in line, though, so it's all good for the show. Thank you for tuning in. Happy Mother's Day, man. How you doing today?
Yeah, you too. I'm doing good
Thank
so
you.
Far.
I appreciate
just getting ready to do some podcasts, you know?
Oh, yeah. You ready to talk some football?
Yep. Sounds good.
Okay. All right. We got the Saints on the ticker first today. New Orleans Saints made some big moves this offseason. They got Cameron Meredith. They added DeMario Davis. You know, talk to me about the Saints and what you think about everything they got going down there in the Big Easy.
So I thought the Saints did well this offseason. I think they continue to improve. I know they also signed Drew Brees to an extension. I believe it was a two-year extension.
Yep.
I mean, he's the key to their team. You know, if
Absolutely.
Drew Brees is playing well, that team's going to play well. You know, their defense finally stepped up last year. I know like the four seasons before that was like the four-season stretch of the defense ever. You know, that's why they were consistently, you know, winning 6-7 games. So they added some good pieces. Cameron Meredith is going to help a lot. Their defense, or they added Marcus Davenport in the draft to help that defense. To me, that's not exactly a win now type of pick, but he can turn into a great player. He's a project right now, just big, long athlete. Just kind of needs to learn the skills of how to rush the passer from the edge. He can stand up. He can put his foot in the ground. Very strong. Just going to need to learn how to use his hands, footwork, things like that, because he was playing at University of Texas San Antonio. Now he's going to be going to get some elite offensive tackles. Just going to need to develop a little bit. And they also traded up for him and gave him next year's first-round pick for him, too. So they must have loved this guy, and they're going all in on this year, which I think they should now that they got Drew Brees for, you know, 1 to 2 more years. This is their year. So.
I agree. I thought it was a little bit risky to pay as much as they did, you know, to get Davenport to trade up, give up that first-round pick next year.
Next year's first.
Well, next year's first, you know. I mean, that's going to handicap them in the future a lot. But, you know, if it pans out and they can do something now, they weren't that far away last year, you know. You know, they're hoping that, you know, adding Davenport opposite of Jordan and, you know, they got DeMario Davis, who had over 100 tackles last year for the Jets. So they're trying to put it all together defensively.
They're
just, you know,
trying to add pieces. And
exactly.
You can make the argument that they I think they definitely would have put up a better game against the Eagles instead of the Vikings in the NFC Championship game. I thought they were the better team. They just, the Minnesota Miracle is the reason why they lost. I always thought they were the better team, and I think the Vikings would have just won that game because, one, it was in Minnesota, and two, because of that last play. So,
what was the safety's name? Was it Marcus Williams or something, or what was it?
Marcus Williams, yeah. And he actually had a really good rookie year, but nobody remembers that because they just remember the play. But
right.
He's actually going to be a really good starter for them in the years to come, even this year. He's going to be a big part of that defense. So
I saw a lot of his backstory that he actually had a really good year, but you know, you're defined by this one play where he blows it against Minnesota. Stephon Diggs, I think, takes it to the house, and the rest is history. But you know, Minnesota laid that egg the next week against the Eagles, so I agree with you there. I think the Saints would have put up a better game.
Yeah. If you look back at, you know, not even just football, but in all sports, when that one team wins, you know, playoff game on a miracle or, you know, something like that, they usually come up the next game and just get blown away. I think if you look at, the famous, miracles in football, the next game, they're, 1-7 or something. So when a team wins like that, they usually don't just come out the next game and just continuously beat people. So I wasn't really – I was surprised that they lost that bad. But I wasn't surprised that they came out looking flat. So,
yeah, I mean that was ugly.
Why
game
the Saints would have, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Brees is just so tactical, you know, and just amazing, you know, amazing quarterback. He's probably going to finish with more yards than any other quarterback that's ever played the game. So I mean, that tells you what type of player he is. I mean, I remember growing up, I watched him at Purdue, and I remember thinking, man, this guy's great. And then a lot of times that doesn't translate over because you get system quarterbacks and things like that, you know, like Timmy Chang's and Colt Brennan's and players that throw for all these yardage in college, they go to the NFL and they're just nobodies because they're in the June Jones system. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
Drew Brees wasn't one of those guys. Go ahead.
No. Is there three quarterbacks that you would rather have in the NFL today instead of Drew Brees?
No. Three others.
No.
I mean, Brady, that's it.
I would take Brady and Rodgers. I would, and then after Rodgers, I'd take Drew Brees.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm trending a little bit downward on Rodgers because of his health, you know, because he gets banged up so much.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, when he is healthy, you know, he's unstoppable, you know. I think for a while, he had the highest passer rating ever.
He might be the most talented quarterback we've ever seen. I'm saying just from a talent standpoint. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's
I agree.
So
yeah, it's not another.
Drew Brees is up there. It's crazy because Drew Brees is 6 feet tall and he's up there. He's up there with Brady and Rodgers, and it's crazy what he's doing.
Right, Brady is just so clutch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
he's working with Belichick, so he's been doing that for 18 years now. It's been forever.
Right. You can't.
So.
Yeah, you definitely can't undervalue Belichick's impact. You know, he molded Brady from what? What was Brady, a sixth-round pick or seventh-round pick?
Six, I believe. Yeah, he's six.
Six. Yeah, I mean, that worked out for him. Tyreek Hill was like a fifth-round pick. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, you're seeing a lot of players today just coming out from these. Antonio Brown was a sixth-round pick, you know.
Sixth-round pick. Marcus Colson was like seven.
Yeah, and now we're seeing all these, you know, good running backs going in the middle rounds. You know, Kamara, another guy for the Saints. Oh, another thing I want to talk about is Mark Ingram suspended four games.
So it's going to be all Alvin Kamara.
That's what it looks like.
You think he can handle the load? I was talking earlier to someone about Adrian Peterson. Do you hear Peyton is leaving the door open for Peterson to come back too?
I did see that. I don't think it would be a great idea just because it didn't end well, you know, last year. I don't know why they think it would end any better this year because Adrian Peterson is going to come in and he's going to want to get his touches. And he's not Mark Ingram. I mean, Adrian Peterson's a guy, you got to put him in I formation, give him the ball. But people forget Mark Ingram had a really good year last year. Like, Alvin Kamara took all the, you know, he got all the fame because he's a rookie and, you know, how electric he is. But Mark Ingram had probably the best season of his career last year. Because of what he did, not only in the running game, but in the receiving game. Yeah. He was unbelievable last year. So that's a big loss.
Yeah.
I did see somewhere that. Yeah. You know, Kamara, they're actually going to not increase Kamara's load. They're just going to give the carries to somebody else, whoever Mark Ingram is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in the first 4 weeks, that's going to be a tough loss.
Yeah.
So
I think they can overcome it. But it's going to put them in a bad seed, like, when the playoffs come around, you know?
Yeah. They might lose a game or two because of it. I don't know how much it'll impact them, but if they can – just because Sean Payton and Drew Brees, I think they can figure it out. But it's not going to be easy to overcome. They can, but
no.
It's not going to be easy.
And I think it'll actually hurt Kamara, too. I think Kamara was benefiting from playing off, you know, attacking a tired defense and playing off as an extension off Ingram.
Yeah, they played really well together.
Yeah.
Best running back defense. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say best running back duo in the league.
Oh, yeah. But I will say this defense got – I'm a little bit worried about this defense simply because they got – so good, so quick, okay? And when a defense gets so good, so quick, it's really hard to just keep that pace and just keep staying that good. Now, I think they'll have a good year next year, but it wouldn't surprise me to see them take a step back a little bit. Maybe an injury will come up, maybe something like that. It's just it wasn't even as if they were continuously getting better. It's they were so bad, and then all of a sudden they were a top 10 defense. They were playing really good, you know? And it's I don't know if they're going to be consistently be able to do that every game this year. So,
well,
with Mark Ingram out, it's going to be more pressure on Drew Brees.
Right. Dude, Lattimore was a big part of that. Lattimore is
the
real deal. Man.
Oh, yeah.
He's not just a cover guy, too. I was watching this film. He can light you up as a hitter, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There was one play when I saw he, I think the Saints were playing cover three, and he was the corner. He was the corner on the sideline, I believe, on the right side or something. And I forgot who they were playing, but the receiver on the other side was running a post. And a post, there was one ran a post, one ran a go route. The safety in the middle of the field went to the go route, and he ran all the way across the field and batted down a post on the other side. It was crazy. And I was like, for a rookie, that was unbelievable. For him to not only understand that, but for him to be athletic enough to run across the field and bat a ball down. It was
right.
Crazy.
It takes, like, instincts to realize what play is happening, what's happening to him, and then the closing speed to get over there and make that play, you know, from his third all the way over, you know, that's insane. So, I mean,
he's
huge.
Got it. Yeah, he's got it,
yeah.
You know.
He's definitely got the it factor. There's no doubt about that. Let's talk about the Falcons. What do you think about the Falcons?
All right, the Falcons. So, I love the Calvin Ridley pick. I think that's going to be a great addition for that offense. Put him at I think he'll even become – I think he'll become the number two receiver. I think he'll take over Muhammad Sanu. It'll be kind of like a 2A, 2A, 2B kind of thing because Sanu's going to get his touches. He's a solid receiver, veteran receiver, and he'll make his
five
plays. Yeah, what I do worry about is, though, is Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator. Like, this offense last year was the same as it was when they went to the Super Bowl, and you saw how bad it was, and the play calling was just terrible sometimes. Especially when you remember when they played the Eagles in the playoffs and it was first and goal in the fourth quarter and they ran four I can't remember the plays, but they just ran four stupid plays. I remember they ran a reverse once on the 1 yard line. Yeah, it was like Steve Sarkisian just got to figure it out because the talent's there. Matt Ryan, he's a top 10 quarterback. I don't know if I call him elite, but he's a top 10 quarterback. They got Julio Jones. They got a great pair of running backs in Coleman and Freeman. They got Calvin Ridley. They got Sanu. They got a couple decent tight ends and Austin Hooper. They've got it all there. Their coach is great. Their defense is really fast. It's there. On paper, it's there. They just got to figure it out from a coaching standpoint.
What do you think about the losses of what do you think about the losses of Adrian Claiborne and Poe, Dontari Poe?
So, I mean, they're going to be big losses, but I know that they just signed defensive tackle Terrell McClain. I mean, he's not going to be – he's not just going to come in and all of a sudden save the defensive line, but he's definitely helped. Claiborne 1's going to hurt him. I don't know. I have their draft here. Who did they draft here?
They went I don't know who they went
in
the second.
So, in the the second round, they got the corner from Colorado, Isaiah Oliver, who was projected a late first, early second.
Yep.
That was a really good pick. I was a huge fan of that one. I remember sitting there watching the draft, and I was kind of thinking, you know, what exactly do the Falcons need? And I'm a big believer in if you're kind of like, if you're in that stage of you don't have a dire need, I think draft either a lineman, offensive defense, or draft a corner because you need so much depth of those positions. And they drafted a really good corner in the second round, 58th overall. That probably shouldn't have been there. And they drafted him, and that's just going to give them some great depth in the secondary to make that secondary even better. So,
a lot of speed, a receiver, a cornerback. You know, they wanted to get faster
at
the skill position.
Yeah.
And
Ridley
was, dude, a few guys, every year we see a few guys get their character assassinated throughout the draft, like Rosen, Lamar Jackson. Ridley was kind of one, too.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He was the best player at receiver in college football on the best team, Alabama. Like, it's hard for me to the athletic conference or Conference USA. Like, it's hard for me to get excited about those players over an SEC player. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's because, I mean, you saw what he did at Alabama and you got to think his quarterback was Jalen Hurts.
His quarterback
got benched in the national championship game. Imagine if he actually had a decent quarterback. Imagine if he had Tua, the guy who played in the second half of the national.
Yep.
Imagine if he had him all year, how good he would be. He would have been so productive,
exactly.
Been unbelievable. Yeah.
And people were knocking him because he is a little light. Like, I think he's only 190. You know, they like the receivers to be 210, you know. But
yeah, he's also 24. He's old.
He's old?
He's 24 years old.
I think he'll be
25
old
this year. He is old. But, I mean, he's an immediate impact player for a playoff team, so why would you not take him, you know?
Bottom line, though, he can play, so it's like, who
he
cares?
He can play,
you know?
Yeah.
So,
not every team
he dominated,
looking for that. Go ahead.
Yeah. He dominated against the best competition, you know? Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, like on the big stages, you want that guy. So, who went number one? T.J. Moore. Good player. I'm talking about for receivers.
Yeah, I was surprised that D.J. Moore went ahead of Calvin Ridley. I thought D.J. Moore was a good second-round option. I didn't think he was much better than, you know, some of the other second-round guys that went, like Courtland Sutton or, you know, guys
good.
Like that. Yeah,
but
I was like, I kind of saw Carolina, and I was like, I don't know about that one. You know,
right. So I like watch Sutton's tape and he's playing I can't even remember Northern Texas or something like that. And it's like, you know, he's a good player, but you know, I think I'm going to go with the guy from Alabama, you know?
Oh yeah. You know, I thought Courtland Sutton went to Denver in the second round. I thought that was a solid option. I was like, that's probably where he needs to go. And he'll learn under Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. That'll be a good fit for him. But I was just – you can just tell Calvin Ridley is just on another level. The only other receiver you could kind of compare to, I would say Christian Kirk from Texas A&M, just from how explosive he is and as a kind of a returner. He's more of a slot in the screen game, a little quick slants, just how Christian Kirk is. But he's still not Calvin Ridley. So.
I agree. I liked Kirk a lot coming out too, and he didn't have it like Ridley did. That's for sure. Then Ridley, where'd you play him? Would you play him inside? Would you play him outside? I think he could play anywhere, to be honest.
Oh, you play him everywhere. I think that a lot of teams when they draft receivers, they kind of say, okay, you're an X or you're a Z. You know, you're playing inside or you're going to play outside. I think it's more of a good coach where even if you watch guys like Bill Belichick or Doug Peterson, or they're moving guys all around. They'll have their slot guys on the outside. They'll have their outside guys in the slot. You know, they're moving people around. They'll be in trips with everybody in the slot, and they'll have a receiver stacked. It's you just got to get so creative with this. It's not anymore where it's okay, you're an outside receiver. You're strictly going to play on the outside. It's not how this is anymore. You got to be creative with where you're going to put these guys.
It's about creating favorable matchups,
with
the personnel. I agree with you there. You can't just be you're playing Z, you're playing X, or But let's the final topic we got today is the Vikings. So just go ahead and let us know what you think about the Vikings.
So I mean, first and foremost, you got to talk about Kirk Cousins. You know, they signed him for what, 3 years, $84-86 million. I mean, they're contenders now. I like what Case Keenum did. I was really impressed with what Pat Shurmur did with him and, how the offense played really well. But, they just got a guy. I mean, he's not elite, but he's a really good quarterback. He's a good, productive quarterback. He's still over 4,000 yards a couple times. You add him to that offense with – remember, they're getting Dalvin Cook back. They got still got Latavius Murray, Stephon Diggs, Adam Beeline. They added Kendall Wright. I mean, that's a really good offense. Really excited to see what Minnesota's going to do. It's going to be a tough division. Even the NFC South, like Falcons say, they're also in a tough division, but this is going to be a tough one too. And their defense,
they
still got Mike Zimmer. So,
first round
they drafted. University of Central Florida corner Mike Hughes. A big fan
Mike
of him.
Hughes.
I was actually at the Mike Hughes, the corner from UCF. I was actually at the UCF Auburn game this year down in Atlanta. You can just see him making plays all over the field against some good Auburn receivers. He's the real deal. He's legit. And the good thing is he doesn't need to come in and start immediately. They still got Xavier Rhodes. He's going to be kind of the third receiver. And Trey Wayne, yes. I remember they drafted a corner from Clemson. Was it last year? In the second round or so? I forgot his name. But they got good cornerback depth. And, I said earlier, if you don't have a dire need of a position, what do you draft? You either draft an offensive defensive lineman or a corner, and that's like what he did. So you got to have depth there. You got to have a lot of good players. So they got him, and they got a couple other offensive linemen in round two, round five, I believe. They got some decent depth guys in the offensive line to help out too, because their offensive line is not great, but just add more bodies, add more depth, add more competition. You got to protect your, $84 million investment. So
absolutely. I remember a couple of years ago they were struggling on the offensive line too. So I know they got a little bit better.
Sam Bradford,
Yeah. So I can understand why they took a couple of linemen just to shore things up up front. What about Shurmur?
They signed Shurmur? He was
What about the loss of Pat Shurmur, I should say? Do you think they can overcome that or –
They signed – who did they sign to be their offensive coordinator? I got to
– because
whoever they
– Shurmur's the head coach of the Giants now.
John DeFilippo or whatever. I've heard some great things about him. He came from – where? I think he came from – I think – was he the quarterback coach or was he from the Eagles?
Okay. Now I know who you're talking about. Yeah. There was a lot of good reviews about him. Like a few people wanted him. A few teams.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that wanted him. He was he's highly recruited. I think he'll be. I think they'll do just fine just because they got the talent. Now they're adding Kirk Cousins. I mean, yes, they did lose Pat Shurmur, who made Case Keenum look really good, who made that offense look really good. You know, hopefully do the same for the Giants. But, you know, it is a loss, but I think that bringing DeFilippino in, I don't think it'll be – I really don't think they'll make that much a step back. They might even get better this offseason just because now they have
right.
Kirk Cousins, that it's not going to be – it almost seemed as if Shurmur was having to kind of play to Keenum's strengths. Want to say they were limited. They did a lot of things, but it was a lot of you know, having to throw it to Jarrett McKinnon and kind of just using Thielen and Diggs in the right way. Now it's going to be kind of like, all right, Kirk Cousins, go do your thing. You can do everything. You know, they kind of opened up the whole playbook for him now. So I'm excited to see what the Vikings are going to do. And you got to remember, that defense is still that defense. And they also added Sheldon Richardson, right?
Yep, former Jet.
Added him on the defensive line. Yeah,
He was on the Seahawks last year.
He was in the Jermaine Kearse trade.
Okay.
They just added him, and it was funny. I saw a tweet somewhere when they kind of brought Kirk Cousins out for the introduction press conference, and Mike Zimmer was kind of giving a little half smile. And then when you brought in Sheldon Richardson, he had a full grin on his face. He was so excited to get his tackle.
Oh yeah, he loves his defense. Probably one of the best defensive lines in the league, easily.
Oh, that's an elite defense. The thing is, in a few years, they're going to be able to re-sign all these guys. I don't think they will, just because they're all so good and they're all going to be really expensive.
I like Kendricks in the middle. You know, I like
him and Barr can be.
Who? Barr?
Yeah, Anthony Barr.
Yeah, isn't he the one who hurt Rodgers?
I think he was, yeah. I think he was.
I like Griffin.
You got to remember
Everson Griffin. Guy
Everson
tank.
Griffin's going to be good.
You know?
Yeah, they got a real good defensive line.
Daniil Hunter. Joseph
Hunter, that's
up front.
What I'm thinking of. Hunter, I was like, who's the really good young guy? It was Hunter. He's going to be legit.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't get as many sacks as a lot of people liked, but he's got such insane raw talent, and he's so young that he's going to be the real deal. You know, Adam with Linval Joseph, and they just got depth. Kentrell Brothers, who's pretty good. He's not even starting for them on their depth chart. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Right.
And the corner I was talking about,
Harrison.
Clemson. Defense is legit. It's legit.
Yep.
So, and you got to remember, they got Ndejo at safety and Harrison Smith at safety, too. They got two really good safeties.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were the number one defense in the league last year, and they added Kirk Cousins. So, you know, they have all the opportunity in the world to put it all together this year. I'm from Detroit, so I'm a Lions fan, so I hate it. But hopefully, you know, maybe they flop or something. I don't know. You're from Atlanta, right?
Maybe. I'm from Atlanta, but I'm a Giants fan. So.
Things are looking much better for you.
Yes, they are. I mean, I personally would have wanted to draft a quarterback, but that's just me.
Right.
So, but let me talk
Saquon,
to you about it.
Though.
This is Saquon's gonna be great. I'm really excited for him, but we'll get into the Giants one day. I will tell you about. Let me list you out the depth chart of the Vikings corners. So they got Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes, and then they got Mackenzie Alexander, who's the guy I told you about. They drafted from Clemson. Terrence Newman, who's been playing forever, and now they got.
Oh yeah.
And now they just drafted Mike Hughes, a corner in the first round. That's unreal. That's five.
Yeah, they're loaded. The secondary is looking good. We're running out of time, though.
Okay.
We're running out of time. Our time slot's up. I appreciate you tuning in, as always, Michael Gallup. You did a great job. Always informative and on your P's and Q's as far as football knowledge goes. And we're going to keep building the show. I appreciate you tuning in. And this is John Kuzma and Michael Gallup signing off. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Yep. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.